Hello and welcome to this episode of the Progress with Unity podcast, where we will review the Villa game, the Rotherham game in the Cup, and preview the Forest game. And our interviewee this week is the one and only Will Grigg. Come on, you lads, it's
thanks for that intro, Paul. How are you doing?
No problem. Glad to be back.
Yeah, you've been
missing last week.
You were.
Yeah, to look after the kids.
Shaving a one-match ban.
All right, sir.
I'm all right, Barry.
You've been busy, haven't you? Doing the training ground.
Yeah. Pestering.
Nothing wrong with pestering. Gareth?
Good, yeah.
Yeah, been away.
Been to the lakes for the weekend.
Ooh, lovely.
Brilliant.
Adam?
Yeah, I've been away. Went to Rotherham last night.
You went back to 1985?
Beautiful it was, yeah.
And we've got some Adam-esque feature this evening as well, haven't we? With a Forest fan.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Adam?
Hello, Barry.
Have you been away?
I went to Villa on Saturday, and that's about it as far as away.
Well.
Well travelled we are.
We'll come to that almost immediately. As usual, we'll start off with the stats, and the first game that we'll... Well, the only game we're going to be looking back on this evening... No, it's not, sorry. The first game we'll be looking back on this evening is the Villa game. Gareth, over to you, Statman.
The stats from the game, Aston Villa versus Wigan Athletic. Possession, 48% to Villa, 52% to the Latics. Attempts, Villa managed 17 attempts, Wigan 10. On target, Villa managed 6 attempts and Wigan managed 3. Corners, 3 to the Villa and 4 to Latics. Fouls committed, 17 committed by Aston Villa and 16 by Wigan Athletic. Yellow cards. Aston Villa got 1 yellow card and Wigan Athletic got 4. Red cards. Fortunately, no red cards. Goals. 3-2 to Aston Villa.
Ooh. Big gear, 31,000. 34,000, sorry.
There, because it's Wigan.
That's it for that, is it? Right.
although, I will point something quite ironic out. That they were criticising our fan base, weren't they, on Saturday. For them to have the top tier closed of one stand. So, you know, you can't really criticise a small away following, which was a pretty decent sized away following. When you can't fill your ground,
I don't get slating away followings in the ground because you're having a go at the people who've turned up. Yeah. You know, why have a go at the people who are there supporting the team?
It's just it's an old thing anyway, isn't it? And like a recess, fans don't get any points. Otherwise,
well, as we know, more than most clubs,
we do. And obviously, Villa know fans don't get any points as well. Hopes they won't be in the Championship, will they?
True.
A lot of people were highly disappointed and very critical of various things that went on that day.
Simon?
Personally, I thought we were quite unlucky not to win. I think if Dean Windass... if he'd have been on 10 minutes before that chance fell to him, he'd have buried that. Because it was an open goal. Yeah. It was just...
I think Paul Cook always makes a good point, doesn't he, about if you analyse a game too soon when the emotion, it's raw emotion, and then sometimes when you actually take a step back, you actually realise how well we played. If you think about the last couple of goals in the Championship, we never really competed with the better sides, have we, and really gone toe-to-toe with them. Whereas in this game, absolutely, on another day, that could have been a 3-2 reversal, and Paul's prediction might have come in.
I think a 3-2 Wigan win would have been a fair result. I think, in all honesty, a draw would have been a fair result for both teams, but I know that you don't get the rub of the green sometimes, and you know, Villa were the team to come away with the 3 points, maybe a bit unjust.
Should we have had a penalty?
Seen and given.
Yeah. I still feel we started off the second half so well. Obviously we went ahead, and then even for 5 minutes after we took the lead, we were knocking the ball around well and still probing to get even another. And it was the poor goal we conceded. I mean, the cross should never have got to the back post. It should have been headed away at the front. And then it was just a bit of a calamity, and it was an own goal. And that's sure to knock the players' confidence. And that's when Villa started to regain control. And I feel like without that own goal, I'd have backed us to go on to win the game.
We look a class side though as well. You know, for the second game in a row, we from the off, didn't we? We took the game right to Villa, and we just look pure class. And players we could bring on Saturday. You know, we've mentioned Josh Windass. We brought on Lee Evans. You know, these are, well, we know what Lee Evans can do. He's a top quality midfielder, and in almost an instant impact. You know, Windass.
That pass for Windass.
Right. Yeah.
That's incredible. There's been a couple of questions on via Twitter and on Facebook from Kim and also from Ricardo. Basically saying, asking the same sort of question. Should, when we're in front, should we learn to close the game out? You know, we was winning 2-1. Well, there was half an hour left at that.
Yeah, I think...
What should we do? Should we be more professional and close it out? Or... Should we just carry on going on?
We had the opportunity to actually push on in that game. and it's backfired this week, hasn't it? But in future weeks, we could be looking at possibly an Oxford again.
The only reason the question's being asked is because it didn't work. Yeah. You know, if you'd have shut up shot and lost, the question would be, should we have carried on doing what we did to get in the lead?
Oh, we've seen that. I can shut up shop. That's another question, isn't it? I mean, you look at us and we're so expansive the way we play, and the players that are in that team play that the superstar of football we play. To be honest, when you start talking about shutting up shop, I start thinking Warren Joyce, and there's no way do I want this team to ever go anywhere near any
of our shop was never up, was it?
No, and we don't want that. Surely we don't want
that. Shut up shop, but you're just going to invite more pressure onto you. And at the minute, we clearly have a problem with dealing with crosses. So you'd have had more crosses coming to the box. And I think even if we had shut up shop after we went 2-1 up, you're still going to concede corners. And if you can't defend the corners properly, what's the point?
If you get the opposition on the back four, why invite them on? It just, you're better off keeping them on the back four and let them try and shut up shop from a goal down.
We're playing attractive football. It's working because, you know, we're scoring goals away from home. It's just unfortunate. I mean, that last goal, if the referee had added on the appropriate amount of stoppage time, which was probably about 3 minutes, really, that goal would have been scored. The trainer hadn't been on the pitch, had they?
Well, the amount of time Jack Grealish was rolling around on the floor.
It's disgraceful, isn't it?
No wonder he's tipped as a £30 million player. The refs don't allow anyone to go anywhere near him. Sneeze on him and he'll be on the floor.
He's a bit ridiculous. Like, yeah, Powell got his first share last year, didn't he, of those? But this season, to be honest, they're not getting, in my view, they're not. In the first two games on Powell, I think he's class, but I also think that he's getting a bit more space, isn't he, as well, to do his stuff in. Because last year, players knew they weren't anywhere near as good as him, so they put three men to kick him. This season, he might have the odd man on him, and he can create that space. And if he gets the space, look at that pass he put in for the goal. That was a beauty. It wasn't just a cross, that it was a. You know, directed past.
He had
Connell.
The ball for about 20 seconds as well.
And he looked up. He saw great run from Connolly. Hopefully, we'll talk about him at some point tonight because I think he looks a real player now. And to me, in that what I've seen of him in them couple of games last night and at Villa in midfield, because to time that run as well to get in the box at that time and a complete header to finish it. That's looking good. That midfield's looking good.
He loves a debut-headed goal, doesn't he? Young Callum Connolly. But I thought he held his own as well in that midfield. You know, but got so many good players. It's going to be hard to keep a lot of them happy.
Forgetting that, like, he's out for a month. That was unlucky for us, wasn't it? Gibson being out after such a great first game.
Great injury, isn't it?
Yeah, first game of the season.
And you see, it's a fortunate thing that we can then go and try some of these new players we've brought in. We've got a plethora of midfielders.
What?
A plethora.
Beautiful. Ooh. Beautiful. Word of the night so far.
Yeah. So, it's interesting to see who can play there and perhaps provide some cover to the defence, which I think Paul Cook alluded to, that needed a bit of perhaps work on.
Yeah, we've got an abundance of talent, haven't we?
The goal, Nick Powell's goal was quite good, wasn't it? Because he closed down with pace. The goalkeeper looks a bit dodgy, I thought.
Is he? Oh, he's terrible at distribution.
Like a young Vladimir Stojkovic.
He had 22% passing accuracy, I think. That's what I saw.
Well, try Stato.
Yeah. No, because I know Morsi had some like ridiculous like 91%. He was brilliant on Saturday.
Yeah, Morsi was.
Just a shame that he wasn't allowed to go within a yard of Grealish or that new lad they had, McGinn, whatever his name was. The ref was proper bottling to the home crowd. It was kind of ridiculous, to be honest. And
Jeremy Simpson, for those who didn't know.
We're used to it.
First time I've found myself in the lower tier at Villa Park, and it's different again. You know, it's a nice ground, isn't it? I think a lot of us have been to Villa Park, but I don't know if anyone else has experienced the upper and lower.
I've been both. I was in the lower for the Jamie Jones derby last year.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Right, do we have we did a poll online, didn't we, from another match?
We did, and the four people you could vote for was Lee Evans, Callum Connolly, Nick Powell and Sam Morsi. In last place was Lee Evans with 12% of the votes, Callum Connolly with 17%, Sammy Morsi with 21%, and then well ahead was Nick Powell with 50% of the votes.
Wow.
Congratulations, Nick.
Yeah. Trophies in the post.
Well, we're going to move on to our debut this season in the Carabao Cup and our
first and last.
Curtain call and all, yeah. Adam went last night. We've got no stats from the game because I didn't see any point. Yeah. The best stat from that game last night was the two young lads who come on, Weir and Geldard.
Didn't look out of place either, you know, they had touches, they looked confident, you know. It was a really strange game because I think in general play we looked quite confident. There were a couple of players playing out of position, but they gave it Lopez at right back. On his debut, you could see he preferred going forwards, but I think you've got to try people maybe in different positions and see what they can do. Connolly had another superb game. If we had a vote for last night, I think he'd have been man of the match. It's just again crosses. I know it's a different personnel in there, completely different personnel, but it was almost like the goals were pretty much the same as what they were at Villa. It was just there were different players in there. Now, that could just be down to the fact, like we said maybe about Saturday, that the players who are not playing together very often. And maybe it's that just that bit of organisation which men meant to pick up. Because really, that was the only threat Rotherham had, really. And obviously, Warren must have spotted that, because he basically, every time they got it, crossed it in. Whereas we were playing nice football, but on the you've got to be more threatening going forward, and I think at the back you've got to have that level of organisation. So I think it's a fair result, really.
Yeah. Okay. On to the serious matter of the evening, Simon.
Oh, Chez and Les on tour were on tour, weren't they? And devastated. There was no hot dogs. They were one of the first ones into the ground, by all accounts.
And it's sold out.
Sold out a hot.
They didn't believe it though, did they?
No, they were not happy.
No.
As it's made it home, Adam, have you had discussions about hot dogs?
If there has been a discussion, I haven't been listening. So, from my knowledge, no.
Our local...
You're treating it correctly. Not like Simon making news out of it.
Our local reporter, Paul Kendrick, was treated to two extra sausage rolls last night, and he was quite pleased about it, even though he's in training for the Great North Run.
Pie and sausage roll.
Two sausage rolls, weren't it?
They need to divert the resources, don't they? Less sausage rolls, more of that.
I hope he took his rennies with him. There are other indigestion products available as well.
Are there?
Gaviscon, yeah.
Alright, okie dokie. That's a quick pass by. Before we move on to other matters, Callum Lang signed a new contract. There's been a bit of discussion around the social media about Callum Lang, haven't there, recently, and I know Kevin Campbell was passed a comment away to him saying he should be in the first team squad and involved with us. And
is that his agent by any chance?
I don't know, to be honest.
Well, I think he could have found.
Seems very obsessive, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a good player though, Callum Lang. He is, but he's only 19. You've got to remember
that's
that.
I think the more this had lingered on, the more he'd have found himself languishing in the reserves. But what a move for him.
Yeah, well, he signed a 2-year deal with us, so he's been extended. He's got a 2-year contract, and he's up the road.
But he didn't serve a long-term deal, did he?
Latics.
The plastic takes, yeah. So he's spending. So So he's back in League Two again, isn't he? We had a lot of success last
Ten
season.
10 goals, was it? 10 goals last season.
Yeah, first in one game, so yeah. It's quite good. But I mean, we saw him play that game, the cup game. He was superb, wasn't he? He was like a young Nick Pope, wasn't he, the way he sauntered around the pitch. A lot of arrogance about him.
I think he'd like that compliment.
Who, Nick Powell or Callum Lang? Devante Cole, I was going to mention him from the game last night. He was on the bench, weren't he?
Yeah, he came on. It's okay, really. It's hard to judge it, isn't it, after sort of, he only got 15 minutes. He doesn't look really like he's anywhere part of the plans, does he?
No.
If he was, that would have been a perfect time for him to start a game, wouldn't it, and get 90 minutes under his belt.
Bit of paper. Si, have you got any listeners' questions?
Well, yeah, we've kind of hit Kim as a tick and Richard Ricardo's first questions.
Sorry
in,
about that.
In that first bit. So you left me with one. I'm going to open it up to the table because it's quite an interesting one from Richard via our Facebook page, the Progress with Unity podcast. Also available on Twitter, PWU Podcast.
And a blog as well.
And we've got the blog, which it's the link's in the bio. Favourite goal celebrations now, Power's gone, because we had obviously Max Power did the bouncy Tigger, didn't he? And Richard's saying, you know, what's our favourite celebrations of now or yesteryear? We'll go with you, Barry, first.
I used to like it when he used to jump up and skip. You know, back in the 70s when they didn't know what to do, they'd score a goal and they'd skip and they used to have these tight shorts on. And you used to look at them and think, gosh, you were like a bunch of clowns, you lot. So,
Tight shorts that did it for you, Barry?
No, it wasn't, no. I used to, but I remember them just skipping around with their hands in their hair.
Gareth, have you got any that stand out for you, or are you normally just celebrating? And
it's not so bad. Commit to memory, really. The one celebration that I do remember was, of course, against Manchester City in the Cup,
where the great
total look of sheer amazement after he scored the goal against Manchester City.
It was very much, we don't know what to do. How do we celebrate this? Yeah, I mean, one that stands out, you know, Santo, who did the mimicking of the guns, isn't there? And Moses was always good for a flick. Agahawa, when he scored against... Agahawa.
So you mean pass around this time?
I'm telling my side.
You're just taking everyone.
But
I wasn't actually expecting this question. I'd research a different one.
What's your?
It's difficult because I mean, like Gareth says, that you don't really go crazy on goal celebrations. It's a goal, end up.
There's a lot of sliding knees gets done, isn't there?
Yeah,
and the good when they don't come off and they stop and they fall over.
The dentist chair was...
My favourite goal celebration was at the DW Stadium. I think it was last season, it might have been the season before. I think Michael Jacobs had scored and he run to the side of the East Stand and Paul came running down the stairs trying to grab him. Do you remember that one, Paul?
That was
a cracking goal celebration, that. And they just moved away before you got there, didn't they?
I wasn't going that close. I'll run down the stairs, but I'm not. The problem is, if you're the only one that does it, you can be gripped and collared and dealt with. If everybody's doing it, the stewards just get out of the way.
Young Adam.
Probably Nick Powell when he shithouses like away from home, like against Wimbledon last season, he was proper giving it to the crowd. Those kind of celebrations that wind people up are my favourites.
Older Adam.
Yeah, well, I'm prepared for this question. I was ready for the other one, the one about lowest moments, because I'm more of a pessimist. But
you should be able to think on your feet.
I've just thought of one, and I think not for like spectacular reasons, just one of those that gives you a smile about footballers is when Meador scored. I think it was against Liverpool, his first game, and he kissed the badge. Just to say, like, he's basically just joined us and he's kissing the badge as though, like, he's the most passionate person ever. I don't even know if he scored a goal again for us after that.
No, but he always wanted to play for us, didn't he? Growing up in Egypt as a young kid.
Yeah, I really want to play. When Wigan were in the third division, he thought, oh, that's the team I want to play for.
I think I've got two further ones from last season.
You're going through every single
Side Greg podcast.
Oh, hey, up. There's, 19th of February 2018. The no celebration from Will Grigg. I think, you know, that sheer amazement.
The one Gareth said.
The one Gareth said,
No, there's not. Well, were you not on about the 11th of May 2013?
No. No, that was Ben Watson.
See, we think like Gareth.
Or Doncaster. When it was just pandemonium.
Just straight in.
So both Will Grigg.
Straight into the crowd.
So Will Grigg, your favourite.
Will Grigg's my favourite, yes.
I think the right arm up in the air, you can't really go wrong with. No, I wasn't thinking Shearer, I was thinking Lineker in Mexico in 86. When he scored his hat trick and just wheeled away with his pot in the air.
Have we any strikers who did that? Anything? I can't remember.
Robbie Fowler did an interesting one,
didn't he? Probably once or twice.
Robbie Fowler.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, I think he got fined for that.
Diggs, but they're like you said, it's digs at the media, some of them, aren't they?
Yeah, it was like,
do you remember him at Newcastle? The Georgian
Gas fire.
Yeah,
the advertising.
Took his shirt off and he was a little bit high.
He just went mad, didn't he?
Yeah,
well, Maradona's 94.
Yeah, running at the camera.
You didn't need any drug testers for that, did you?
Adebayor running all the way down the pitch to slide that. Now that's the celebrations that, you know.
That's what you like. That's actually your brutal
celebration.
That is
the pinnacle. That is the pinnacle.
But David Pleat.
Oh, yeah, it's for City. The Luton at Man City.
It's like that's a little skipping.
Well, he was skipping, and that's the old-fashioned.
That's the manager's skip.
See, You can almost pick the odd iconic goals, can't you, and say, what was the goal celebration? You can't remember. I'm just trying to think here, you know, that Nzogbia goal at the end against West Ham. I can't remember what he did
there. I know Mike Pollitt were halfway up pitch.
Didn't he have his top over his head and going like that?
The one at Blackpool, when he scored at Blackpool and he run down to Martinez.
Perkins was decent, wasn't it? I can't remember what he did, but
nothing.
Yeah, it was decent though, wasn't it?
So there'll be more panel questions next week.
Okay, let's move on. Right, so I'll say it again. Will Grigg's your favourite, isn't it?
Oh, he is. What a guy.
What have you been doing over the past week?
Well, I got the chance to meet up with the man, the myth, the legend that is Will Grigg down at Exton, thanks to Ash, the media team at Wigan Athletic. Got down there, had a bit of a chat with him, a bit of a laugh. Saw some fresh on the scene.
Was it very hot?
No. It was hot off the press, but you all found out in due course.
Yeah, we did. and it's not a secret anyway, is it? But
no.
So, shall we have a listen?
What was it?
Are you a chat when?
Yeah, let's have a look. I've got
this. Should it have been covered up to make sure Barry's cut out bits where drops a bollock.
Right now.
Will Grigg, what a guy.
What a man.
Great guy.
On fire in that interview.
He is, yeah.
I think I got on for a bit longer, but training was beckoning.
Well, there we go. The important things, professional football players, professional athletes, they've got to
can't keep them from the football for too long.
Part-time journalist.
Right, let's move on. So Will's obviously looking forward to the weekend. We've got Forest in town. It's a big game for us. They've spent a bit of money this summer. We're going to have Adam Asks in a moment. We're going to be speaking to a Nottingham Forest season ticket holder. Just a quick one on Forest. We've got Jeff Eltringham will be in charge of the game. We've had him before many a time. He's reffed two games this season and issued six yellows. He last reffed us last season against Blackburn away when we were 2-0 down and we come back and
controversial game.
Yeah,
do you want some bit more for your ref watch?
Well,
he last refed us the last time we played Forest as well.
He did, and it was in the Capital One Cup tie at the City Ground in 2012-13 season.
No, it was at the DW in the 25th of February 2017.
As well as that. Yeah.
You were saying about the last one at the County Ground, weren't you?
No, the City Ground.
Don't say that to a Forest fan.
We played Forest, good spot that, Paul. We played Forest 12 times previously. We've won four of those, we've drawn five, and we've lost three. So it's pretty even. Right, Adam, Uncle Passover, and you're going to ring your friend up, Paul Richardson, who's on Twitter at RicoForest30, and is he a good guy?
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy, yeah. Anybody who comes on this podcast is a friend of ours.
Let's have a listen to what he has to say. Give him a ring.
You right, Paul? It's Adam.
Yeah. I'm here, lads, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So we're just going to kind of talk all things Forest for the next kind of 5 minutes or so. So, first of all, how did you come to support Forest in the and how long have you been supporting them for?
For about 30 years this year, actually. So went to my first game in 88 with them. Basically, I was only five, and my parents, it was a League Cup game against Leicester. They couldn't get a babysitter for me, so like, oh god, we've got to take him to the game. Took me to the game and I absolutely loved it. It was on the old Trent End terrace in the day back then, and I sat on the wall at the very back of the terrace, on the wall at the back, so I could see. And ever since then I got hooked, seems to get older since then, really. So
yeah, glory hunter as well, because those days you were winning League Cups, weren't you? So
and European Cup.
Don't you qualify for a glory hunter, to be fair, but no, I was quite fortunate, really, because I got to see obviously the end of the Clough era. So I got, you know, kind of got the last 5 or 6 years of Cloughy, bless him, and you know, a couple of cup finals, League Cups, FA Cup final.
Did you win that FA Cup final?
No, we lost the Spurs 2-1, Des Walker own goal.
We won one. You do know we won the FA Cup, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I remember, because didn't Ben Watson score?
Speaking of FA Cup final wins, you've got the greatest ever midfielder at your club.
So he's our club captain at the minute.
Yeah, well, that brings us nicely on to, I guess, the more sort of modern times, really. So I guess, really, there seems to be a lot of optimism around this season after kind of three or four what's have seemingly been terrible years, you know, sort of in the boardroom and managerial changes. So kind of, would you sort of buy into that you're a lot more positive?
Yeah, I think really, to be fair, the last 20 years have been pretty poor since we've been out the top flight, really, but, you know, delved into League One a couple of times. But I think this year, you know, we've had some years under Fawaz Al-Asari, bit of mismanagement of the club. And then we've got Marinakis has come in, steadied the ship a little bit. We've got a good chairman in. Kind of a bit of a season last year, just stabilising the club a little bit. And this year, I mean, you know, everyone's calling us big spending Nottingham Forest this year, but, you know, really, we spent £13 million on Carvalho and £6 million on Graben, which both those would have smashed our previous transfer record, to be fair. But the rest of them are made up of loans, really, loan fees and, you know, West Ham, we've got Sam Byron on loan, a couple of Portuguese lads on loan. But yeah, you know the Championship, lads, it's anybody can beat anybody on their day, and that's why it's the best league in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of the first sort of you've played two or three matches already, haven't you? So how have you felt it's gone so far?
Outstanding against West Brom. We're on the telly. I don't know if you caught a bit of that game, but you know, it should have really been 3 or 4 at least against West Brom at home before they equalised.
Some cracking goals in that game, weren't there? Some cracking goals.
There were some cracking football played, really. Both teams, you know, it was a good advert for the Championship, but then really struggled at home to Reading on Saturday. And that wasn't because Reading shut up shop. I think we looked leggy, looked tired. You know, we've got a lot of new players bedding in. Struggled, really. We took a good goal to separate the teams a little bit. But I don't know. I think there is a lot of expectation, but I'm quite wary. I think like any fan, really. I don't get carried away. I've seen enough kind of the Championship to know that money doesn't buy you success, really.
Yeah, so you go into the game on Saturday. Coming to the DW.
Okay. So basically got... like I said, the season's a gold, and I've got an away membership which guarantees me tickets every game, so I'll be coming up there. Basically, every time we played you, the last 3 or 4 times, I've been up there, so, and we've never got much up there either, so it's not a happy hunting ground for us up there.
I think the last time you were here, from memory, it was an awful 0-0 under Warren.
It was a midweek night, 0-0, it was absolutely dire.
Warren Joyce era, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a dire game. And then I think the time before, you beat us 2-1. We scored early, you beat us 2-1. So, yeah, it's not a happy hunting ground for us up there.
Well, so, long may it continue, I guess, really. So that's moving on.
You boys.
Moving on.
You know, it's a tough game. It's a tough game. You know, you've had a, you know, I mean, you're unlucky against Villa on Saturday. You know, that would have been a great point down there. Took a last minute goal, didn't it, to beat you on Saturday. So, you know, it's a tough game.
I've got a question for you, and it's away from football. Have you met Lad Big? Yeah. I know he's a big Notts Forest season ticket holder. The guy does social media, Lad Baby.
Yeah, I've not met him. I know of him. He lives in the same town I do. Yeah, West Bridgeford in Nottingham, where the football ground is actually. But yeah, I know of him. He's a lot of Facebook stuff, doesn't he? A lot of social media stuff.
Yeah.
I think he plays in the Forest fan a lot more than probably he is really.
Right.
from what I've seen, you know, when he talks about the club, for example, he called his Notts Forest on one of his videos, and I'm like, that's a cardinal sin.
We have one of those superstar fans, Mikhail Gorbachev. He's a bit like that with us. you are laughing, but it is true.
Is that true?
Oh yes, Mikhail Gorbachev.
That can't be true, is it?
Yes, it is true. It was. It is true.
We played a friendly against Torpedo Moscow. It's the old Springfield Park in 1988.
Yeah, and he was the chief exec, wasn't he? The government man.
You learn something new every day, don't you? Talking to Wigan fans, fountains of knowledge.
Extreme fans, that is, isn't it, really, to be fair.
Paul, do you remember a player you had called Ian Kilford? You sold him to us back in the
1994.
Back in the 1994 season. Thanks for that.
I don't actually. That must be my sign, lads. I don't remember that because my mates call me Stato when it comes to Forest, because I can remember away games, goal scorers, how the goals were scored, everything from, like, you know, years and years ago. But I don't remember that name.
Well, he did play for your first team. Half a dozen games, and he was a young lad when we signed him. Did 9 years with us.
Yeah,
absolutely, really? Sure he was. Yeah, bit of a legend in his parts.
No, he gave you James Perch.
James Perch, yeah.
James Perch played for you, didn't he, for a few years? Yeah. We got Watson, he's a...
Vladimir Stojkovic.
Vladimir Stojkovic, what an eccentric goalkeeper he was.
Well, he played in the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't the goalkeeper, was he? He just sort of stood between the sticks.
I've never seen a goalkeeper. Every time he caught the ball, he kisses the ball. He's just mental.
You couldn't believe he caught it, that's why.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fucking about right, actually, to be fair.
We saw him punch it from, like, he pretty much had his hands on his nuts when he punched it.
Like, that's it?
Yeah, but yeah. It, you know, it was like, if ever a ball wanted to catch it, it's when it comes there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah,
we had him last year. Last season before, started really well, actually, and then suddenly just... We conceded, I think, 3 goals against Newcastle, and one of them, he left it, I think, Eddie Cover, and it just dropped in the bottom corner. And then when you see the footage, he stood on the corner of his 6-yard box, and he's just left 3/4 goal wide open. It's just horrendous. That's him.
Anyway, on to the key matters of predictions for the game on Saturday. What's your prediction? You know what's your little tip for that game?
Probably every football fan says this about their team. It depends what Forest turn up. You know, if we turn up and we're on it, and you know the players we've got are on it, I'm confident we'll nick something. You know, but if it's a Forest that turn up against Wigan, I think we'll get against Reading, I think we'll get turned over. You know. It'll be a tough game. Generally, any away game in the Championship is tough. So, you know, I'd actually take a point if I'm honest. You know, win at home, draw away. I'd take that for the whole season, really. You know, how about you, boys? What are you thinking?
3-2 either way.
Yeah.
3-2 either way. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, our defence is a bit shaky. You know, we're not good. We're not good in the air at the back, so if you bombard us with balls into the box, we'll struggle.
No, we're not playing like that. When you see us play, you'll know why I said that, because we're all out attack and we don't seem to bother too much about defending.
Yeah. Really, it could be like a 4-4 job.
Yeah, you're going for 4-4 then, Paul?
I'll go 4-4. Do you know what? I'll put my neck on the line there. Yeah,
I'll definitely put some money on that, because that would be good odds.
No, I'm going to do that now. I'll give you a ring and go, told you so.
Yeah, you can get us a pint after the game.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a tough game. You know, you know, I think you boys will be alright this year as well. I think, you know, you'll surprise a lot of teams this year. I mean, you know, I didn't actually watch the full game against Villa because, you know, but without access to it, but the highlights that I saw, you know, you could have got a bit more out of that game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. We're
coming for you, Paul.
We're coming, yeah.
Well, yeah, but no, I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent, Paul.
We'll see, really.
So enjoy the game Saturday, but not too much, and we'll speak again for the reverse fixture.
Yeah, definitely. Give us a ring on the when's that? Is that, I can't remember what that is. Next year, sometime, I suppose, is it?
Sometime next year. Yeah. It'll be a top of the table clash by then, won't it?
Yeah, I think
just title decider or something like that. So
it could be, couldn't it? Yeah, it could be. Imagine that. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
It'd be great. All right then. Cheers, Paul. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for that.
Bye-bye.
Take care, lads. Bye.
Yeah, it's quite interesting though. Funny guy, isn't it?
Yeah, going for a big 4-4, isn't it?
I can't believe you didn't win in Kilford though. Come on.
By the way, I want the listeners to tweet in with what they think of my phone voice this week. It's sounding really good.
Yeah. Oh, just to let people who are not aware of this, perhaps not on Twitter or seeing it, but Carol was rather taken by your phone.
I know Carol, but it's she's never mentioned my voice before, so it must just be when I'm on the phone. So
whispering sweet nothings.
Yeah, I'll give you a call soon, Carol.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Yeah. Although her husband's a Bolton fan, he's a lot bigger than me.
I was just going to say that her husband's listening as well. Right. Okay. Let's have some predictions. We'll start off with Gareth. If you don't mind, Gareth.
No, not at all.
Straight
what
in
a chill guy.
Yeah.
Desmond,
2-2. Straight in, no nonsense.
Adam?
2-1 to Wigan.
Adam?
First clean sheet, 2-0.
Paul?
First clean sheet, 1-0.
Right.
Barry?
I'm just going for the season score, 3-2 to the Ticks.
Well, I know you want to know what the odds are, don't you?
Of course.
That's what everyone comes to listen to this for. So Wigan are 6-4, the draw 11-5, and Forest 15-8. 1-0 Latics 13-2, 2-0 11-1, 2-1 17-2, and 3-0 is 25-1. The draws 0-0 8-2. 1-1, 5-1, 2-2, 14-1, 3-3, 66-1. The away's Forest 1-0, 15-2, 2-0, 14-1, 2-1, 10-1, and 3-0, 33-1. And I've backed a 2-0 Wigan win.
What's up with this bookie? Why has he got 8-2? Why didn't you just say 4-1?
What's the 3-2 and the 4-4? I've got them. Don't give us some.
8-1 might have meant to be, sorry. 13-1 for 3-2.
Yeah,
4-4.
4-4.
Forest
60-1, was it? 88-1. Get your money on that, Rico. So, I think we're going to be looking at changes, section-wise.
From Rotherham or from
Villa?
No,
from Villa. Forget Rotherham. Rotherham never happened.
I hope Lee Evans plays, because he's my favourite player.
Ooh.
Just saying, I loved him when I was gutted when he left, and I did not when I saw the news that he was coming back. I couldn't believe it, to be honest. Because
did you like him when he was a singer as well?
I like his comedian act. I'm a big fan of his comedy.
His singing was alright when he was in that band.
Yeah, I think that's just you, Paul. To be honest.
So who?
McManaman will be out. I think.
Do you think?
Take McManaman out of the team and bring in Evans, and it will mean a little bit of a tweaking around with the formation, presuming that Massey doesn't quite make it. But McManaman played 60 minutes last night, so I suspect probably not on Saturday.
Just going back to Ticks Predicts, Jack Unsworth has given us a 2-2 result on Twitter using the hashtag Ticks Predicts.
And Big Kim as well, because we used Jack last week.
Yeah, come on.
Only saying.
Keep it fair. Sorry.
Okay, well, we'll get.
Did I get it wrong? Use him again.
We used Jack last week, didn't we?
All's fair in love and war.
It is, yeah. And Big Kim, I think Big Kim went for 2-1, did he? I'm not sure.
I've not seen that. It might have been tweeted.
You know, whatever you put, Kim will go for it.
So one change for me.
So we'll need to check that out. That it's on the Twitter though. Cause I've seen
Paul,
it.
Work this time.
Simon,
someone's got jobs.
Come on.
Okay, so first of all, I've got Will Grigg here. Will, thanks for taking your time to speak to the Progress with Unity podcast. You've done this before in the past, I think.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
What are your thoughts and expectations for this season then?
It's an exciting time. Obviously, we've got things to put right from the mistakes we made 2 years ago. So it's a really exciting time. I think, you know, the squad's in a really strong position. We've got some really good players and... Yeah, like I said, it's just exciting times ahead.
Yeah, and there's some good competition for places now up front. Obviously, you've got James Vaughan, who we had last season, but then Joe Garner and I suppose Josh Windass will come in and provide a bit of a competition. So how will you adapt and take to that?
It's obviously always good to have a bit of healthy competition. It doesn't really change anything for me. I'll just do what I can on the pitch and prove that, you know, that I'm more than worthy to be Wigan's number nine. It's obviously good to get a bit of competition, like I said, and bolster that front line. They can obviously play. I think Windass can play in 10 and out wide as well, so that obviously helps. But I think we've had a really successful window, and like I said, it puts the squad in a strong position.
And going forward, how well do you think the squad can do? A lot of fans are saying, you know, we've brought in some great players, and the squad that we already had. Where do you think we could end up come May? Is it a case of staying in this league, or do you think we could push towards that right end of the table?
It's one of those things, it's all cliche, but you just take every game as it comes. Obviously, the sole aim to start with is to stay in the league. It's simple as that. But, you know, the sooner we can do that, the better it'll be, and obviously we'll push on from there. But, it's one of those things. It's exciting times, but it's important not to get carried away. Obviously, if we can push up towards the top end of the table, then we'll do that. But, it's boring as it sounds. It is literally take every game as it comes, and I'm sure if we keep ticking them off, it'll leave us in a good position, and we can go from there.
Do you set yourself a personal target at the start of the season of where how many goals you want to score, or where you'd like to be around? Cause League One, you're like duck to water, that step up to the Championship for the whole team. Mm-hmm. Do you have yourself any personal goals that you want?
I haven't set a specific target, but you know, as a striker in a Championship, your aim is to get to 10 goals and go from there, and that will certainly be mine. I think anything to sort of 15 plus is a really, really good achievement in Championship. So, like I said, get to 10 and go from there, and I think anything above that I'll be pleased with. So, if I can play every game, I'll fancy my chances to easily surpass that 10. So, like I said, I'll be aiming towards that, and then go from there.
I suppose looking back at Saturday against Sheffield Wednesday, having players you can score throughout the team, you know, we know how good Crackers is and how good Nick Powell is, but taking some of that pressure off you, you can then play your own game knowing that there are goals within the team, that must assist you in many ways.
Definitely, I think that was one of the problems that last time around. We struggled with goals from all areas, and we proved it last year. I think myself and Paoli and Crackers got, you know, the majority of the goals, but then behind us there was people on 8-9, I think Gav, and you know, that massively helps. And like you said, Crackers getting two at the weekend, it's brilliant for him, brilliant for his confidence, and I think he was, you know, he was the best player on the pitch, and if he can carry that on, that'd be fantastic for us. But having goals throughout the squad is really important. Like I said, it takes that little bit of pressure off myself, but also it helps the team, which is massive.
And going forward to the Villa game on Saturday, down the years Wigan have had pretty decent results down at Villa Park. Memorable bit of Ronald Ager scoring early on in the season. Do you think it's a game that the team now can get together and go forward and win? Because we've watched them against Hull, they were, you know, a decent outfit, they've got good players, mm-hmm. managed to keep hold of Grealish. Is Villa a game that we can win? I know we always go into a game looking that we can win, mm-hmm. but I think realistically as a team, is that something we can achieve, the players we've brought in and the squad that we already have?
Definitely. I think, you know, if you look at every game this season, you look at it and it's a difficult game, but there's no reason why we can't go out there and win. We had a meeting at the start of the week, and you know, I think everyone watched the whole game, and obviously, like I said, they've got some really exciting players, they've got players that can win your game out of nothing, but you know, there's not a player out there we should be fearful of. I think, like I said, you look at the quality in our squad and we can compete with everyone, so we'll be going there to win. It's not the case we'll be going there to try and draw the game or see what we can do. It's the message from the gaffer's simple, and we'll be going there trying to win the game. And I think the way we played the other day, if we can sort of continue that attacking threat, and you know, obviously we want to, you know, clear it up at the other end and make sure we don't let them create as many chances as they did, but the way we played, you know, I think we've shown that we can be a threat to anyone, and that's certainly something we're going to do. Obviously Villa Park's not an easy place to go, but like you said, we've had some good times there before, and we'll be hoping to create some more memories.
Yeah, I suppose there's grounds that players want to be going to as well, these old Premier League grounds, but great stadiums and things like that. The last thing I've got is going back to last season, Doncaster. What was going through your mind as you had the ball, you know, running towards the Wigan end, one on one with the keeper?
I hadn't seen it for a while, so it was nice to get a touch, to be honest. But no, as soon as I go through on goal, I seem to just get in this zone that I can't really explain. And you know, it was literally a case of where I was going to put it, and the keeper came out, you know, spread his legs a bit, and I managed to squeeze it through that gap. And you know, I think as soon as I saw it go through his legs, it was all a blur, and the next thing you know, the top was off, and I was in the crowd. But no, it was a brilliant occasion, and I think, you know, we were just waiting for that one moment. It was a bit of a tight game, and
yeah, it was a nerve-wracking game from a fan's point of view. You see the Blackburn scores coming in. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where you guys were on the pitch, but you see the Blackburn scores coming in, and at that point, you just want them to win the league, aren't you? You've been there for such a long period of time.
Yeah, I think we deserved it. We knew as a team that we needed to win that game just to make it clear. And yeah, it was going throughout our minds, you know, especially me personally. I knew we'd get one chance, and you know, luckily it fell to me and I managed to put it away. But yeah, there was no chance we were going to let it slip on that last day. And you know, obviously the scenes after the game during that goal were unbelievable, and something that I think ourselves and the fans deserve throughout the season. So hopefully we'll get a few more this season.
Did you get booked?
I did, yeah. I got booked.
I was celebrating that much, seeing what had gone on. But thank you very much for your time.
No, thanks very much.
Cheers.
So come to the end of this week's podcast. We've got another one coming up on Sunday evening, or Sunday morning, it'll be out, and that'll be looking at the Stoke City game. And Sam, we've got one of your interviews on there as well, haven't we?
Yes, a comedian, come footballer,
Adam's hero.
Yes, he'll be on our Sunday morning podcast. It was recorded before the Aston Villa game. It's at the end of the transfer window.
Who's it with?
It's with Lee Evans.
Lee Evans and a bacon sandwich.
Adam asks, he'll be there again, won't he?
Yeah, I'll be there with
your Stoke City friend.
Yeah, with me.
A lot of friends you, Adam.
Lovely phone voice again. Yeah. What more could you want on a Sunday morning?
So before we finish, I'd just like to mention the deal that the club have tweeted today at Rigoletto's before a game. £10 for a pizza or pasta.
Wow.
And a complimentary drink.
Wow.
For games.
When you say drink, is it a soft drink or a hard drink?
I believe there's a mix of alcohol and soft drinks.
What, so it's a shandy?
Well, possibly. unless you want lager with Coke, I don't think that's
lager top.
But yes, I think it says beer, wine.
So £10?
£10.
For your pizza.
Or a pasta.
Your drink.
£10. Pizza, drink, and your beer. The atmosphere.
How many toppings on your pizza?
I don't know, but if you wanted a table for six, complimentary, that we will review.
One, two, three, four, five, there's six of us.
Yeah, and if you want to do a free table, we'll review it on the podcast and let our listeners know.
I've been to Rigoletto's before, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's excellent, isn't it?
I'd say it's the finest restaurant in the world.
It's the best restaurant in the DW. Yeah.
it's genuine.
Dave Wheeler loves it.
Ash, Nick can sort us out.
So it's a tenner, you get your pizza.
Or a pasta.
Or a pasta.
I heard it's been
Yeah, Nick, Ash, sort us out if you want.
Okay. On that note, it's a good night from us.
Good night from us.